Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
There we are. Hello, everybody. I said hello. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms. So good to be together. And I want to take a moment and honor our founding pastor and the mom of this house, Pastor Kathy. Happy Mother's Day. And Colleen wasn't one of the people that moved over, as Kulu said, and greeted for the first time. But Pastor Steve, we are trusting as this message goes online and as it is streaming, we'd like you to feel the collective weight of the church, both here and online. Pastor Steve, we trust that you have already given her breakfast in bed. Coffee, crumpets, and all the rest. Our kids decided that Pastor Ken needed crumpets for breakfast this morning. So yesterday we went out and bought crumpets for breakfast. But how many of you know there's theory and there's practice? So the crumpets were bought, but nothing was made this morning. Just didn't happen. But you know, on a serious note, as we looked at the power of the feminine touch on Friday night at Hope Ladies, all the ladies in the house, you'll know about this. Pastor Ken gave just the most incredible teaching on the power of the feminine touch, of how it was that Moses was released by six women actually in his life. It was an amazing teaching. And as she spoke and as she taught, the thought was so clear in my mind, it just almost felt like a new weight settled on me on how grateful we should all be, men and women, on how grateful we should be not only for mothers, but for women. Genuinely, and as men and as a man, it's important that I say publicly that people wouldn't exist without women, obviously, biologically, but the role and the contribution, women make our world infinitely better. Can you imagine for a moment if there were only men in the world? I'm a man, I love men, I mean, but honestly, yes, we would stuff things up badly, to be honest. Can I get some amens from men and women? So we're grateful. Hey, everybody, stand to your feet if you're joining us online. Welcome. Good to have you with us. I'm going to ask you to stand if you're online as well. Grab whatever you have with you. Have a quick stretch. Turn to the person next to you. Have a look at them. If you are single in the house, I would like you to do a quick scan and just to see if there's anybody here that could be. There are a couple of people on the balcony. They've got a vantage, a bird's eye view. And if you like what you see, we've got a welcome sign that's on the deck. It says, welcome, we'll hook you up here. You can just head. You ready for the word today? Yes. How are your hearts? Receptive? I know it's winter. I know it's, you know, getting a little fresh in the mornings now, isn't it? But how many of you know that God has something for us today? Not only as individuals, but as a church. And I want to encourage you in this time to open your hearts, to receive from him what he wants to do in your life and through your life. You didn't come to church, I didn't come to church out of a sense of ritual or a sense of obligation. We're in this place today because we believe that God wants to shape us and the Holy Spirit wants to mold us. And so can I encourage you, whether you're online or in the building today, let's take a moment and give our hearts to him this morning before the word is preached so that our hearts will be good soil. How many of you want to make a decision in this place already to action what God speaks to you about today? In other words, you didn't come to warm a pew, right? Yeah. I hope. You came to hear the word of God, which is sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing joints, marrow, soul, and spirit. It shapes us, molds us, changes us, forms us. And today, the Spirit of God wants to form something in you if you'll allow him. So we've got one or two options today. We can sit and kind of allow ourselves to sink a little bit lower in our chairs, or we can be receptive and responsive to the word of God. And on that note, I do want to remind you that the better you respond, the shorter I preach. And everybody said?
Amen.
Okay, that was a little bit loud. Come, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for the fact that we're in a space here, it's holy ground, it's a sacred space. Church is not some place we come to, it is who we are. We are the embodied body of Christ on this earth for the kingdom's purposes. We are not here simply to get something. We're here to become somebody. Yeah. We're here to move towards Jesus. Would you teach us how to do that today in Jesus' name? Amen. Amen. Thanks, everybody. Please have a seat. John Donne was a 17th century poet. One of his most famous quotes was this: "No man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main." I can remember late primary school, grade 5, 6, and 7. My folks thought that it would be a good idea for me to explore a very good school. We lived in Cape Town at the time. It was a boys-only boarding school. I'm not sure if it was because I was causing such trouble at home that they needed to outsource me, or whether or whether they genuinely thought maybe this school would be the best for me. But they took me along to the school and said, "Hey, come on, have a look and see if you'd like to go to this school. Their sport was strong, their academics were strong, and I would be a weekly boarder. Monday to Friday, I'd board in a hostel." I remember going with them to the school and having a look at it, and everything about it was beautiful. But as I got to the hostel where I'd be living, I looked at the dining room, and I looked at the rec room, the recreation room, I looked at the bathrooms, and then I looked at the actual sort of dorms where I'd be sleeping, and I'll never forget the feeling. How many of you guys remember feelings more than you do facts, if you're like me? I remember feelings. I'll never forget the feeling that I felt. The feeling that I felt was, I don't think I can belong here. I don't think I can belong here. It was an amazing school, doing amazing things, but it was just that inner sense, I don't think I can belong here. Belonging, it's powerful. The sense of belonging that we feel is a powerful thing in our lives, church. Talking about belonging and how important it is, in the 20th century, a psychologist called Abraham Maslow, many of you may have heard of him, may have heard of his theory called, which we come to know as Maslow's hierarchy. Maslow's hierarchy will be on the screen. It's a kind of a pyramid-shaped diagram showing mankind and womankind's needs, everything from the most basic needs at the bottom of the pyramid being our physiological needs, food and water and shelter, right through to our top uppermost needs, right at the top of the pyramid being the self-actualization needs, the needs to fulfill our own potential. So it kind of goes, bottom need, physiological, then need for safety and security, third need, need for belonging, fourth need, need for self-esteem. Last need, the need for self-actualization, to fulfill our potential. Please notice something massively important about the diagram, and that is that the need for belonging is right in the center of Maslow's hierarchy. And I thought about how unbelievably important this is for us in 21st century South African and particularly Joburg culture at the moment. If you're watching online and you're in any other country, it's true for you too. It's just that it's especially true for us in Johannesburg. We spend a lot of time, a lot of money, and a lot of energy on making sure our safety need, second need on the hierarchy, our need for safety is taken care of. Would you agree with me? Why? Because we live in Joburg, right? So that's normal. And then Joburg, again, we spend a lot of time, a lot of money, and a lot of energy taking care of our esteem needs. Are you with me? Our job, our ladder, our money and image and all the rest of it. Isn't it remarkable how Joburg and South African culture particularly, we spend so much time and energy focusing and thinking about safety, and then we skip belonging and we head straight to esteem. Yeah. I want to suggest to you that there is a poverty, a deficiency in the culture that you and I live in that is all around us at the moment. The deficiency is we spend more time on our safety, more money on our safety, more time and more money on our esteem, and we have left out, we have skipped almost altogether the critical human need to belong. And the results are revealing and they are telling in our culture. Young people are reporting feeling lonelier than ever before. People in individualistic cultures like most of South Africa are reporting feeling lonelier than ever before. Check out this statistic. They did a sample group in 1985 and then they followed that experiment up again last year. And they asked people, how many of you have no friends? Guess what? Three times the amount responded last year to say they have no friends when compared to the stats in 1985. In just 20-something, almost 30-something years, the number of people that have no friends has tripled. 71% of millennials have reported having no friends. 79% of Gen Z say that they have no friends. People are feeling lonelier than ever before. And that's having a devastating effect on our culture and on our society. What's the effect? Well, it affects our stress. It affects our sleep. It affects our self-esteem, doesn't it? It affects our depression, and it affects our anxiety. It causes depression. It causes anxiety. You know, the effect of not belonging, the effect of not belonging is profoundly, profoundly important on the human brain. They are getting towards doing experiments with human beings to validate this. But in the meantime, research is showing us that mice, who are incredibly social creatures like human beings, they put mice in these little cages and isolated them for a little while. Do you know that their nerve cells are reducing? Their nerve cells reduced because of the loneliness. What that's telling us, early research is that loneliness actually has a profoundly important impact upon our nervous system. Interesting, isn't it? In the pandemic last year, they did some research on human beings, and they found that the neural pathways that happen in our lives, the neural pathways or synapses that are happening in our lives associated with loneliness are the same as the neural pathways associated with hunger. We are literally starving for belonging in our culture. And as I said, it's having a profound effect on us because our sleep gets affected, our stress levels increase, our self-esteem takes strain, depression and anxiety kicks in. All of this is the result, coming back to Maslow's hierarchy, of us spending inordinate amounts of time, energy, and money on our need for safety and then our need for esteem, but we're skipping the need for belonging. I was chatting to a friend of mine the other day. He was telling me that his grandmother, who's in her 80s, has been in a facility, an elderly facility, an old age facility. And during the pandemic, they were so paranoid about the effect of it on their physical health that they barely allowed them out of their rooms. He said to me with great sadness the other day, he said, my gran has pretty much just lost her mind. Mentally, she has unraveled. Why? Because every human being, doesn't matter what age we are, we have a need to belong. Why is this happening? Why is our culture skipping belonging? Why is it that our belonging levels have never been lower? Why is it that we're more connected as a culture and yet more lonely than ever before? Why is it happening? I want to offer us a few reasons. I think firstly, our social networks have shrunk. Families are smaller than what they are. Many families now have a single parent. Many of the parents, if there are both parents in the house, are traveling to work. Many of them, dual income families, spending long hours at work, less time together. Fewer families than ever, ever before are eating dinner together, for example. What that tells us is that our social networks are smaller and are shrinking. I think we are more mobile as people on the planet than ever before. Hey, we move cities, we move jobs, we move provinces, we move countries. The world has never been more mobile. What that means is we have never been more easily able to uplift our lives, pick them up and transplant them into another culture where there is no social network for us to grab a hold onto. I also think technology is playing a massively important role and destructive role when it comes to the issue of belonging. Why is it that we are more connected and yet more lonely? I'll offer a thought. I think it's because we've traded friendship for followers on Instagram or friends on Facebook or likes or posts or whatever the case might be. And so we're more connected than ever, but we're lonelier than ever. And so what has ended up happening, church, is that interdependence, where once we were interdependent upon each other, has become independence. Aloneness, which is healthy, each one of us need a certain measure of aloneness, but that aloneness has morphed now into loneliness. And while what is say what was real good for us, I know it's not great grammar, but it works for the preach, so just go with me. What was real good for us has now become feel good for us. In other words, what was really good for us, social contact, looking at each other, conversing with each other, has now become lying on the couch, streaming Netflix, WhatsApping a couple of mates. That's becoming the extent and the depth of our social contact. You know, I remember growing up, my parents used to have so many dinner parties. Maybe it was just that food was cheaper in those days. I don't know. But almost like every weekend, there'd be people coming around, and my mom used to make this unbelievable coffee ice cream. And we used to pray that her guests wouldn't finish it. Because in the morning, if not, then in the morning, Saturday morning, my brothers and I, we would wake up and we'd head to the freezer and we'd scrape out the last bits of the coffee ice cream. And then we'd have a look and see what else was there. And my mom used to my mom and my dad used to love chicken liver pate and pravitas. We used to skip all of that and just go straight to, was there any lamb left over from the previous night? But you know, I remember that that was the extent of the friendships. And what's ended up happening is that people my age now, it seems easier, it feels easier to lie on the couch, watch Netflix, and say how's it to a couple of people while we're doing that. But our culture is swimming completely upstream and is in direct opposition. I hope you hear me today, the wording that I'm using. Our culture is in direct opposition to a biblical culture. God never intended for you and I not to belong. God, when He created human beings, always had belonging as a central tenet of our lives. Which is why it took Abraham Maslow thousands of years to pretty much confirm the same thing, which is why belonging is in the center of Maslow's hierarchy. So Genesis chapter 2, God creates Adam. What does He do? He goes, oh, look at this oak. I think he might stuff the world up if he's left by himself. Let's give him a woman. Why? Because he knew it's not good for man to be alone. Genesis 2:18. God says, it's not good for you, Adam, to be alone. You don't look like a guy that can do things by yourself. And every man agreed, said amen. Fast forward, thousands of years. Wisdom literature. Solomon, wisest man who ever lived, apart from Jesus himself, writes a book called Ecclesiastes. It's a part of scripture called wisdom literature. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 confirms the very thing God said in the beginning. What does Ecclesiastes 4 say? Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. You know, you want to know why our culture is in such trouble, why people in our culture are in such trouble at the moment? Because they fall and they're alone. Fast forward a couple more thousand years to the time of Jesus. Jesus arrives on the scene. As he continues to grow in wisdom and in stature, he becomes known as a rabbi of great standing. put aside for one moment the fact that Jesus is more than a rabbi, he is the Son of God himself. But Jesus in the first century Palestine was known as a great rabbi. Whatever else people believed about him, they all concurred. This man knew God's word and he could teach God's word. Now a rabbi would go and he would look for followers. He would look for students, what became known as disciples. And the rabbi would walk the dusty roads of their towns and their cities looking for the most promising theological students, and they would call them and they would say, come and follow me. This following was not simply come and learn from me. This following was come because of what you believe, young man, because of who you are, because I can see you're promising when it comes to what you believe. I can see you know God's word. I can see that in your life. And they would come to these young men and they would say, because of what you believe, I am inviting you. I'm calling you to become my follower now. In other words, because of what you believe, I am now asking you to come and belong to my new community. And so the rabbi would typically have a few students that he would call together, and these students and their rabbi would now form a new community. Do you know that the rabbi and his students, his disciples, would go everywhere together? They would literally go everywhere together. If the rabbi got invited to a dinner party, the disciples would go with. If the rabbi was going to go and pray for somebody, they'd go with. If the rabbi was studying, they'd study what he was studying. If the rabbi went to the loo, some interpretations and some studies and scholars on that believe that that's how radical some of it was. If you go for a wee, I'm joining you. The point is that they would believe. They would be promising in their theology. Then they would be invited to belong to a new community. Why? For the express purpose of becoming like the rabbi. There's an incredibly important progression that Jesus as the ultimate rabbi gives us as a model for life. He says, first believe, then you become, then you belong, and then you become. And in our culture, notice how we go from needs for safety and security to needs for esteem. In our culture today, we think there might be a quick fix. We leave out belonging. In our culture, we think there might be a quick fix for us to becoming like Jesus. We go, I'm going to believe in Jesus. I'm going to believe what Jesus believed. And then all of a sudden, miraculously, I'm going to become like Jesus. And there's a middle step that each one of us need to understand is crucial in the middle thing. It's that we believe so we can belong, so we can become. The need to belong. Even Jesus's rabbinic model, even the model that he modeled with his 12 disciples, goes to the very essence and the core of your need and my need to belong. Are you all still tracking with me? All okay? Jesus exits the scene. He ascends to heaven after his resurrection. The Holy Spirit descends. So it's interesting. As Jesus ascended, the Holy Spirit descended. And as the Holy Spirit descended, what gave birth? The early church. The church was birthed. The Holy Spirit came and began to form a new community of believers in Jesus. What am I saying? I'm saying that even when Jesus left the scene, even when he wasn't physically with us anymore, the Holy Spirit's presence as he forms and builds a new community, the pattern church remains exactly the same. What's the pattern? Believe, belong, become. You and I, none of us, we can ever become like Jesus unless we have belonged to his community. And if we do, we'll believe. Are you with me? So it's believe, belong, become. The pattern is still the same. And that's why in Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul writes and he tells us this very thing. He says, Ephesians 2:19, you are members of God's very own family, citizens of God's country, and you what? Belong in God's household with every other Christian. Scripture says, basically, that a Christ follower who doesn't belong is like a sheep without a flock. It's like an organ in our body without a body, right? And it's like a child without a family. And you and I, we can come to church and we can have a belief that church is somewhere we come to, or we can understand theologically the shift that I'm talking to us today about is that church is not somewhere we come to. Church is something you are. Church is something we are. Church is what we belong to. And just as Christ left the scene, guess what? This very thing, and online, this very thing now becomes the body of Christ. We replace Jesus' physical body with the church. So your presence matters. Your presence on a Sunday matters. Your presence in life group matters. Your presence in serving team matters. Your presence matters in people's lives. And so if it's such a vital part of our lives, I think we have to ask and confront the question, why is it that we don't belong so often and so many times? I think there's a few reasons. I think it can be daunting. I think it can be difficult at times to get involved into a smaller group, a smaller community. Why don't more people belong to a life group? Well, because it's difficult to rock up and go, hey, I'm so-and-so. Again, when you have the surname Chicken, all of that fades into... I think it can be stressful. I think it can be difficult. I think it can be inconvenient. I think it can mean that we have to get out of our box. Here's the thing. I think if we're really honest, don't tell the guys in the other service, but I think if we're really honest, we're probably a bit selfish with our time, with what we want to do. I think we don't belong because it can involve a bit of risk at times. I think it's easier to be anonymous. Think about it. If you had a choice and you could come and go anonymously, many of us would like that actually, because it's easier. It's just that you'll never become like Jesus unless you believe and then belong and then become. I think some of us can be a little bit lazy, a little bit busy. We can be wrapped up in our own lives. We can make the excuse that so many of us do that we're too busy to belong to something meaningful. We use busyness as a badge of honor in our culture. Speak to people, you go, how are you doing? You're busy, busy, busy. As if it's something good, like as if, what do you want? Like a naughty badge for that. So why don't we? I think all of these reasons. I think because actually, at the end of the day, guys, we want to go our own way. We want to go our own way. I think that's why the phrase, one another, is used 58 times in the New Testament alone. We're encouraged to love one another. We're encouraged to care for one another. We're encouraged to know each other. We're encouraged to pray for one another. We're encouraged to greet one another. 58 times in the New Testament, one another. And yet our culture thinks, perhaps in the deepest part of you, you thought you can go it alone. The problem is our culture is a bunch of hyenas that'll take you down. And it'll take me down. We need to belong. I often look at our worship team and I look at our kids' zone team. These are the teams that serve at the highest level in the church. Worship team is here well before the rest of us are awake on a Sunday morning. And I will think to myself, well, why would they do it? I'll tell you why. Because they found a place to belong. They are brothers and sisters in arms. God has designed the church, what we are sitting in at the moment. He has designed it as a place for us to belong. His primary goal for this church, any church, would be that there would be people who believe, belong, and become. Today I want to help you find a place to belong here. So, if you're new to Thrive, maybe you've just been coming, hanging out, connecting with us the last few weeks, where's the place to belong for you? move forward. That's your first and next place, right? If you're new to church, move forward is your first circle to belong. If you've got kids and they are over the age of one, literally, if you're in the service now and your kid's with you, I want to tell you we've got Kids Zone available from the age of one. There should be like rapturous applause. There should be. Kids Zone is the place for your kids to belong. If your kids are in grade 6 or 7, if you're in the service today and you're in the grade 6 or 7, Elevate is the place for you to belong. If you're in high school, Extreme on Friday nights is the place for you to belong. If you are a senior citizen over the age of, what shall we call it? I have to be so careful here. If you're over the age of 60, Prime Time is your space and primary place to belong, where they meet here at the church during the week. If you're an adult, just any kind of adult in the church, your primary place to belong is Life Group and I Serve Team. That's why you see all these guys in How Can I Serve You shirts. They belong to a team, don't they? Life Groups and Serving Team is your place to belong. There's a WhatsApp number that'll be on the screen if it isn't already. Any one of those, all you want to do, if you want a place to belong, you WhatsApp that number, and if you're new, you go move forward. If you're somebody with a child and you want to get them into Kids Zone, you go child, Kids Zone, right? If you want your kid to be in Elevate, you go Elevate. You just WhatsApp Elevate. If you're over 60 and you want to be in Prime Time, you go Prime Time. If you want to start serving in a team and add value to this place, not just come to church and receive something, but actually contribute, you just put there, serve. I serve. If you want to be in a life group, you simply WhatsApp life. I think you get the picture, yes? A place to belong. Pastor Rick Warren, I listened to him the other day actually. He has been saying for 15 months to his church now, listen very carefully to what he's been saying to his church. He's been saying to them as he closes the service every week, he says to them, you will not get through this pandemic fully okay unless you belong. And you can go, yeah, that's slightly negative. I think he's giving them a dose of reality. Let me ask you, how many nights do you want to Netflix it alone? How many nights do you want to be content with just you and your spouse? I mean, they might be wonderful, but honestly, I mean, really. How many weeks do you want to come to church and just attend? How many weeks do you want to stay part of the crowd? When it could be so much more, a place to belong. One winter, it was a particularly icy winter, and there were some hedgehogs. And the hedgehogs were freezing to death, literally, right? Not like Joburg, we get a little bit cold, and they were freezing to death. So you know what the hedgehogs decided to do? They decided to gather together and get closer together. And obviously so that each other's body heat could and the warmth of each other could warm each other up. Sounds like a very sensible tactic, doesn't it? Except that the hedgehogs, as they got closer to each other, also found that they were quite prickly, each of them. And so they got closer together, but then they became uncomfortable because they were getting pricked. Guess what happened? It sounds like church. The hedgehogs decided... This is a true story. I haven't made this up. The hedgehogs decided to move apart. And they kind of moved slightly away from each other so that they wouldn't get so prickly. But pretty soon, hedgehog after hedgehog after hedgehog died from the cold. Because they chose comfort over survival. May each one of us grab a hold of the word that God's speaking to us today and find a place to belong here. Let's stand, let's pray. Let me pray a blessing over you. Father, you tell us in your word, Jesus, you told a parable of four types of soil. seed would get sown, and three of the four types of soil weren't suitable. Some, it fell on rocky ground, never even penetrated. Others, the birds came and took it away. Other times, it took root and grew up quickly and sprouted, and then just the worries of life took it away. Thorns grew in and amongst it. But one type of soil received your word and produced a harvest that was many, many times the multiple. I pray for our church in this moment that each one of us would have a revelation of what it is to belong. I pray that each one of us would decide in this moment to abandon loneliness, to take a risk, a step of faith, and to find a place to belong. And this we ask in Jesus' name. And everybody in this place said, amen. Amen. Amen.
We hope you have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.